Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Yes! Oh, it is. It is! The Alex Dono Show here on a Tuesday. Yeah, so this Linkin Park song, not the liveliest way to bring us in, but there is a reason. There is a method for Biff's madness. It relates to the code word. Friends, it's time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM $1,000 Touchdown Contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word shadow. Hold on. We'll hit that word in a second here. Hold on. Wait for it. Turn it up a little bit. The weird faces that Biff is making. This has got to be one of your favorite songs.
Back in the day, it was.
You're bobbing your head like Quagmire in Family Guy.
All right.
Still hasn't said the word shadow. Hold on. Wait for it. Wait for it. Yes! It's the code word tonight. It's the $1,000 Touchdown Contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word shadow to 72881 and you are registered.
I'm not going to lie, Donna, wasn't my best work.
I mean, it just said it took forever to hit the post
exactly,
with the song.
Exactly, it wasn't my best work.
It took forever. Text shadow. I will spell it. S-H-A-D-O-W to 72881 now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with Joe and Zach. WQAM's $1,000 Touchdown Contest is brought to you by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Brocktober continues on Thursday night. Brock Osweiler starts another game. The thing is, though, he is going to have to start this game on Thursday night in Houston. I have a bad feeling about this game. Dolphins always stink on Thursday night, especially on the road. You've got nobody healthy at wide receiver, right? You know, now my take on Osweiler, who's playing very well these last couple of weeks, obviously he's not the long-term solution at quarterback, right? Ain't no Dolphin fan, ain't no sane Dolphin fan going to look at Brock Osweiler, 7 years in the league, and he has really put up some brutal performances during his time in the NFL. Obviously, you don't look at that guy and say, that's the future of these Miami Dolphins. Forget about Tannehill. Osweiler is my guy. That's my Marino. No, you don't look at it that way. You still want to find that young quarterback of the future. But at this point, after 7 years of Tannehill slightly above mediocrity, you kind of want to see what else you got, right? You kind of want to see what else you got. And, okay, if Osweiler plays lights out again, and if Tannehill's recovery from this shoulder injury, we really don't know how far away he is from coming back. We know he's going to start to throw a little bit again this week, although Adam Gase said he's not sure if it's going to be an actual football or a Nerf ball from one of his kids. Still could be a couple weeks away from Tannehill being healthy enough to return. So Osweiler is getting his opportunity. And if he continues to play lights out and build on these last two performances, yeah, it's going to be hard to sit the guy down, sure. But given the just awful state of the wide receiving core and the health, Albert Wilson probably going to end up on IR. Kenny Stills not going to play this week. So by default, Devontae Parker should get a lot of playing time this week. That was a great ringing endorsement that Adam Gase had for Devontae Parker yesterday. Well, we don't have anybody healthy, so yeah, he's going to play. Oh, you have the full trust in your head coach then. Brock Osweiler is going to be playing with one hand tied behind his back, figuratively speaking, of course, on Thursday night. So this is not exactly giving Brocktober a great chance to succeed and finish out the month. So if you're thinking, man, if Osweiler keeps playing at this really high level and building on these performances, it's going to be very hard to sit him down for Tannehill. But would it surprise anybody if Osweiler goes out there on Thursday night, throws three interceptions, the Dolphins get killed, and then Adam Gase has his built-in excuse to go back to Ryan Tannehill? Here are some of the numbers for Osweiler, courtesy of Craig Davis. Osweiler, whose career passer rating stood at 77.0 2 weeks ago, has a 107.0 mark this season with a 67.9 completion percentage and six touchdown passes to two interceptions. Can a quarterback in his seventh pro season significantly improve his game, or are the past 2 weeks an anomaly? I think the past 2 weeks are an anomaly, but I would like to find out if that's true or untrue, right? I do want to hear from Devontae Parker, and this is a monumentous occasion. You know, for anybody who's really paid close attention to locker room sound, right? Like people like Frito, like me, you know, we go to the locker room over the years, we bust our asses to do reporting, to get this audio so the radio station can play it. Devontae Parker provides some of the least interesting sound bites I've ever heard in my years in media, right? I mean, not very talkative. I'm a radio pro, forgot to put my phone on silent.
Jeez, come on, Donna. What are you doing?
Radio pro over here. Left full volume up on my iPhone. Apologies for that. Right?
The jerk who texted you, though, that must be awful. Yeah. That guy must be a jerk.
I mean, so you always, like, there are a couple of players in every locker room who just don't give you a whole lot, right? Current locker room, Kiko Alonso, Devontae Parker, don't give you a whole lot to work with interview-wise, right? But at least finally with Devontae Parker and his agent going nuclear, there's something to talk about with that guy, with Devontae. So Devontae Parker spoke to the media yesterday. Here's Devontae on his agent and what he had to say.
It was just between me and him, you know. I'm just really focused on Thursday playing the game and just going out there competing.
Did you know he was going to say that, your agent?
No, I did not.
What are your thoughts on what he said?
Like I said, I'm here just waiting for Thursday to play. I'm just
good deflection.
Ready to go out there compete.
Did that make things awkward for you, you know, having to deal with this now?
No, did not make anything awkward. No, it was bad. You know, you want to be out there with your teammates, you know, having fun. And just out there want to help the guys win, and it's just very frustrating.
here's a little more from Devontae Parker.
You believe you're 100% right now?
Yes.
When we heard the remarks we did last night from your agent, it seemed to us that he didn't want you here anymore. Is that the case?
No, that's not the case at all. You know, he wants me here. He wants me out there playing with my teammates, you know, helping them out.
Do you also want to be here?
Of course I want to be here. I don't want to be anywhere else. No, I can't control what people say, you know. He's a grown man. He says what he says, but I can't control what he says. I didn't feel that way about Coach, though. That was his own opinion.
Would you have rather he had said nothing?
It probably would have been best, but, you know, either text him or something.
So if your agent is flying off the handle and throwing your head coach and your organization under the bus without you knowing about it, you got to find a new agent, right? That's your agent is doing a terrible job if he's putting you in that awkward position against your will. That's why I'm not buying that. Now, what is Devontae Parker supposed to say? Even Devontae's agent probably told him, listen, bro, they're going to come and ask you about this. Put it on me, right? You can tell it's fine. Part of my job as an agent to put on the Kevlar vest and take these bullets for you. Deflect it all over to me, Devontae. Tell them you had nothing to do with it. I'm a loose cannon. You had no idea I was going to say these things. What else is Devontae supposed to say? But come on. Come on. He knew the agent was going to do that. The agent is speaking for him. If the agent goes rogue in that situation, that is the worst agent of all time. You need to fire that guy immediately. He knew what he was doing. The agent knew what he was doing there. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us tonight via the phone lines. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. #560 on your cell. You can always get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, but please don't text and drive. You can reach us there at 560-22. Got an email released today from the University of Miami that Lorenzo Lingard to undergo surgery. Here's I'll read it to you so I don't botch any of the details. It's short. University of Miami football program announced Tuesday that freshman running back Lorenzo Lingard sustained a left knee injury in practice Monday, which we knew about the injury, just not the extent. He will undergo surgery later this week at the UHealth Sports Medicine Institute at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center. What a mouthful. A timetable for his return will be determined after surgery. Lingard, a native of Orange City, had 17 carries for 136 yards and two touchdowns this season. So they're not saying he's shut down for the year, but anytime you hear about surgery in late October, that's not a very good sign he's going to be back. And here's the part about that that really sucks for him. He's already been used in 6 games this year. So what does that mean? If you're used in more than 4 games, you can't redshirt. So that, and listen, Lingard wasn't that involved in the offense. He's gotten some work on special teams. Only 17 carries for 136 yards this year. Hasn't even touched the football on offense since the FIU game. So he wasn't getting used a whole lot. But if you were hoping Lingard could be part of a late Miami surge, that's probably not going to happen. And if he misses out on the next several games, you can still use that redshirt. No, you can't. So that's the real pity for him. I don't think I've spoken to you guys on the air since the Nikosi Perry video got confirmed that it was Nikosi Perry. You know, full disclosure, late last week, I saw that video. A lot of you saw that video of him with the wads of cash. This was right when the video came out. I had zero confirmation whatsoever, without a shadow of a doubt, that that was Nikosi Perry. People were asking me, why aren't you talking about that on the air? Because I don't want to slander that young man until I'm 100% sure it was him. Well, now we know it was him. Mark Richt had acknowledged it. He acknowledged it on the Joe Rose show yesterday. That's just a real dumb move. That's the immaturity we talk about. That's the immaturity we talk about with Nikosi Perry. And Biff, weren't we talking about this a lot last week? That, you know, my theory on Rozier named the starter so early for this coming game against Boston College. Rozier named the starter during the bye week. This has more to do with just 6 throws that Perry made and 2 interceptions against Virginia. There's got to be more to this story. There's got to be maturity being an issue here. Probably the way he handles himself off the field. And while Mark Richt didn't definitively tie that video to the move he made or the announcement he made of Rozier starting, it's hard for me to believe that those two aren't at least loosely related. So it goes to show you Nikosi Perry. And yeah, listen, 18, 19 years old, I did some really stupid things. Really stupid things. Thank goodness when I was 18, 19, only a couple of people had camera phones. The resolution sucked on those camera phones. Twitter did not exist. Instagram did not exist. So it was a lot harder for those things to come to a surface when I was 18, 19 years old. But I also wasn't the quarterback of the University of Miami. I also didn't have the weight of a starting, well, at least a former starting quarterback of a major college program on my shoulders. You've got to know better than to do that.
You may have had the weight on you, just on your stomach.
No, I was in great shape back then, Biff. I
got to see these grainy pictures.
I was a thoroughbred. Yeah, no, I can show you pictures taken with actual cameras, not the grainy camera phones back then. I was hoping when I saw that video, I thought, hey, he's got allegedly estimated $15,000 cash in his lap. I think he may be on his way to Bank of America to open up a high interest savings account. Maybe he's doing something responsible with that money.
I'm sure that's what he's doing. That's what every 19-year-old does.
Right. I mean, come on. And of course, the question does come up. Where does an unpaid amateur collegiate athlete come up with a wad of cash that size? Mark Richt did say they've looked into it and there was no NCAA violation committed. So I don't know where that money came from.
That's his parents' money. They just gave it to him.
I mean, I do know, Biff, that I'm a grown man with a career. And if you told me today to produce $15,000 cash, I couldn't do it. right? I mean, I'm a grown man with a paying job. I couldn't put that kind of cash together on this short
notice.
Don't
know if I had to do it, I'd have to rob a bank.
I mean, I would have to take out like a cash advance on one of my credit cards just to make that happen.
They wouldn't allow me to do that.
Ira Winterman's going to join us. Miami Heat not looking so great so far. Florida Panthers not looking so great so far, but they do play tonight. So Doug Plagans is going to hop on later this hour, 6:45, live from Madison Square Garden. We're going to play a rousing edition of What Did Doug Have for Lunch Today? He's in New York. All guesses are on the table. I have no clue, by the way, what Doug had for lunch today in New York City.
He doesn't. He's not lying.
Could be a street hot dog. Could be maybe some New York-style pizza. Could be he's a big fan of those bagels. Maybe he had a bagel today for lunch.
I'm thinking he had a pastrami on rye. I feel like he got a sandwich today. I feel like he got a nice New York classic deli sandwich.
But Ira Winterman will join me next to talk Heat and NBA here on WQAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Yeah, I heard Hockman earlier talking about the Mega Millions. The Young Biff asked me if I'd bought my tickets, and I admitted I haven't bought them, probably won't buy them tonight. I mean, realistically, what are my chances of actually winning? Yet people act like, is it over a billion now, Biff? The jackpot is over a billion?
It's at 1.6.
I'm not going to win. Like, people act like I'm crazy because I didn't buy tickets.
You are crazy. You could pay $2 and win $900 million.
Or I can just flush $2 down the toilet because I'm not winning.
At least wipe him and then do it. At least then they have a reason.
I mean, statistically, I think I'm making the right move. Let me see if Ira Winterman agrees. Ira Winterman is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, foolish or wise of me not to bother with this Mega Millions nonsense?
Well, considering that I have a ticket, you know what? There's not a lot of chances in life when at least you can fantasize for the period between when you go in to buy the ticket and the final numbers are drawn and say to yourself, when else, Donna, with the rest of your life, can you say to yourself this? What would I do with $900 million? So you know what? I figured this. For $2, I got to fantasize for about 20 hours. So it is absolutely all good. And the fact that I'm going to have a skating rink in my house in Weston, I have no issue whatsoever. And that I'm actually scheduling a Rangers preseason game for my house.
Yes.
I think it's all good.
So do you know what time they stop selling tickets, Ira? Because what do they do? The drawing at like 11? But what time do they stop selling them? Do you know?
I don't know, honestly. I think like I know on Saturdays and Wednesdays, I think it's an hour before 10, but I'm not sure. Who knows what's going to go on with the computers right now when it's a situation like this.
I think Biff knows something.
They stop selling them at 10:45 Eastern.
Okay. Oh, so I can actually make it unless the Panthers go to like a 20-round shootout. I can actually do this.
Or at least you could have maybe your wife get it.
Yeah, but she's watching the kid. I don't want to burden her with that. But
I could have come on like a smart aleck and said you got a better chance of winning than the Panthers have of beating my Rangers. But I've seen my Rangers this year, and that's not true.
I want to circle back to that in a couple minutes, sure. But I do want to burden you with some basketball questions first. So just 3 games into this thing, Ira. I mean, so far this looks like the same Heat team that's going to have to fight tooth and nail for even a playoff spot. But am I getting a realistic look at this team, or can we not really pass judgment until they get healthier because they're so banged up?
It's not looking like the same Heat team until it gets a chance to look like the same Heat team. Tomorrow I'm expecting Justice Winslow back. Spoke to him at practice today. He seems optimistic. Eric Spoelstra did. James Johnson returned to practice. He's not as close. Wayne Ellington looks a little bit iffy. So until I see Justice and James Johnson and Wayne Ellington and Deion Waiters, who probably still is weeks away, you don't know what the internal sort of growth is, but the reality is these guys have not played preseason together, let alone regular season, with 3 starters potentially in Justice, James Johnson, and Deion Waiters. So it's really on hold. The Heat are really treading water. What I don't like is this. They're in the middle of a stretch right now where I'm looking at it about 7 of the next 11 games that started on Saturday at home. This is when you've got to make hay in the NBA, and instead, bad loss to a Charlotte team on Saturday, can't afford to lose to the Knicks tomorrow. So they have to find a way, even with all these injuries. It's just crazy, Donald, because I heard the start of your show, and between the Dolphins and the Canes and the Heat, just these injuries are absolutely ridiculous. We don't know what our teams look like because we haven't had a chance in recent games.
Now, Ira, Pat Riley told the team last week that he was pulling the plug on the Jimmy Butler talks. Now, did he say that just because that needed to be said at that time? Could these talks reopen, or is that plug pulled forever?
The talks will absolutely have to reopen because Glenn Taylor told Jimmy Butler that we will work on a trade for you. Well, if Minnesota's working on a trade, they've got to call someone. The Heat's one of 29 other teams. So I'm sure there will be discussion. So I think it will come back. I think it's almost interesting what Minnesota is doing is they're saying, who's going to get desperate? And who knows? Maybe the Heat will get desperate. So if the offer right now is, just for argument's sake, what we've heard mostly lately, Josh Richardson, Kelly Olynyk, and some sort of protected first-round pick, could it reach a point where Minnesota goes, give us a little bit more? And he realized, well, we have to give you a little bit more. And maybe that's where we are. Or maybe for Minnesota, it gets ugly and desperate, and they go the other way. I mean, I think Heat fans almost have to be anti-Timberwolves fans now because you want the Timberwolves to get antsy. Instead, last night, they had a very impressive victory over the Indiana Pacers. So this is going to go back and forth for a while.
You know, we always talk about, Ira, how, you know, the Heat need a superstar, at least more all-star caliber players. I mean, do you think Josh Richardson is and could be that, Ira? Because that seems to me like one of the most polarizing topic among Heat fans is what you really think the ceiling is on Josh Richardson.
Well, and I'd go to the Wayback Machine, and I'd want to hear Chicago talk radio 3 years into Jimmy Butler's career and wondering if they thought that he could be a superstar. You know, there are guys who were drafted as stars, and that's what they are. You know, the Dwaynes, the Boshes, the LeBrons, guys like that. You just know. Anthony Davis, guys like that. And there are other guys who emerge as stars. Damian Lillard, a C.J. McCollum that he'll see this Saturday. Guys who all of a sudden, given time, you realize, whoa, that guy's pretty good. That's who Jimmy Butler was. He developed into an NBA star, not necessarily NBA star pedigree when he was drafted by the Bulls. So I think it's a similar case with Josh Richardson, and it's a case of how much patience do you have? We know Heat fans have no patience. Most teams, fans for their home teams don't. They want to win now. They want to win yesterday. They want to win tomorrow. So that's what Pat Riley sort of has to balance, that before Jimmy Butler started, this was all about wait till 2020, make your move then, hopefully with enough for two maximum salary cap slots. And then the Jimmy Butler thing started and it changed all the thinking. I think Pat has to temper that a little bit if it means giving up too much. Is Josh Richardson going to be a superstar? I don't know. But I do know this, and it's kind of interesting. If Josh Richardson thought he was going to be a superstar, he would not have taken a four-year, $42 million salary, which is crazy as it sounds. By the time it's over, he'll be below the average salary in this league.
Jeez.
So I thought that's a little telling. The Heat did not offer him superstar money, so they obviously had a certain thought also. So it'll be interesting. I'm not overstating Josh Richardson. I wouldn't want to trade him. I can understand how you would have to trade him.
Now, Ira, your take on the Heat defensively so far, giving up 109 points per game. They're 10th or 11th in the league based on which metrics you look at. But scoring is up league-wide so far, right?
Yeah, the scoring is not only up league-wide, it's ridiculous. You can't play defense, you can't breathe on someone. Matter of fact, I don't know if people have noticed this. When you turn on your NBA games and the game starts, it's like both teams have 30 points already.
Right.
It's like they start the games at 30-30.
I just thought I was tuning in late. I didn't realize that 30 points are just on the board.
That's how it is. It's almost like you're spotting the other team the vigor, you know, or extra points, or that's what the line is. I know people like high scores. I get that. But you see some of the scores. I know it went overtime last night, but even that Lakers-Spurs game, you know, when you see those numbers in the 140s at the end of games, it does seem a bit extreme. And Eric Spoelstra had a really good point in practice yesterday. He said you no longer can leave players in and take chances with two fouls in the first quarter or three in the first half because the whistles are so frequent that all of a sudden the old, just let him be safe on defense doesn't apply anymore because you might actually breathe on the guy who has the ball in his hands.
You mentioned the Lakers' overtime loss. They're off to a winless start, Ira, LeBron and company. Now, I get it. It's too early to wave the panic flag, but sure. Is it fair to say that roster may be flawed?
Yeah, and they know it, and LeBron knows it, and this is LeBron's gap year, and he's doing his Hollywood productions, and he's in bed with HBO, and he's taking care of all of that. And once they added Rondo and Beasley and JaVale McGee and Lance Stevenson, he knew this wouldn't be the year. They couldn't get him a running partner this year, so he's setting up next year. So LeBron will say all the right things. The Lakers probably, not definitely, will make the playoffs. They'll probably go out in the first round of the playoffs. And LeBron, for the first time, won't have to play basketball in May and in June for the first time in 9 years. That'll set up next year. That'll set up the restart. This year, they're going to sell all the tickets anyway at Staples Center because LeBron is the year. Next year, to me, is the year they really make their change.
Yeah, I was looking at something, and this kind of ties into the Lakers a bit. And just for those listening, no, Eric Spoelstra is not on this list. But I see these odds, Ira, odds for the first NBA coach to be fired. You always see a few coaches mm-hmm. fired during the season. Sure. Luke Walton is the leader in the clubhouse there, plus 175. Then you've got Tom Thibodeau, a plus 200. Fred Hoiberg, I'm not even sure how that guy's still employed, at plus 500. Billy sure. Donovan, plus 750. Then you've got Scott Brooks, Dave Yeager, Terry Stotts, Tyronn Lue rounding off that list. Do you agree? Who do you think could be the first to go?
I have Scott Brooks at the top of that list. I mean, Washington, I don't know what they are, but they have to do something, and they really haven't. I can't see the Lakers firing Luke Walton because, look, LeBron sort of tried with Bumpgate to get Eric Spoelstra fired. That never happened. It took LeBron over a season to get rid of David Blatt in Cleveland. So it's not like LeBron means instant death to a coach just when you're struggling. I don't see the Lakers and Magic Johnson panicking like that. So I think it's more of a team that is underachieved in recent years and sort of this is their make-or-break moment. And I really put right now Washington in the Eastern Conference in particular in that mode of a team that hasn't changed coaches recently but has to get more out of their team. If they don't win a first-round series, no matter where they finish, I think it's going to be a time for a change there. That would be my leader in the clubhouse at the moment.
Ira, tonight on the ice, this has got to be a little conflicting for you because you love the Florida Panthers, but you're a lifelong New York Rangers fan. Who do you think comes out on top tonight?
Well,
and of course, it's got to be the Panthers.
I won't even sit with the Rangers jersey tonight out of deference to the Panthers in case neighbors have cameras somewhere shooting the house while we're watching the game. The Rangers are terrible, and the Panthers, I just don't know. It's just unfathomable. They lost to the Red Wings. No one loses to the Red Wings.
Right.
I mean, they've got to do something with the goaltending. They've got to, you know, I can have all the faith in the world in Roberto Luongo and what he's done, and I appreciate that. I never felt that comfortable with Reimer, and I know Dale Talon said they felt they had a two-headed monster and that Reimer can give him 30 games. He's been shaky. Hutchinson's not an answer there. It's not the best time to trade for a backup goalie, but I think they have to make a move like that because this probably won't be the last absence for Roberto this season also. I think there has to be a little bit more there. The defense has not been great. I know they're shaking up the pairings. I guess we'll get a different look tonight with my former Ranger favorite, Keith Yandel, to see what happens with those units. But to me, it's just about the goaltending. I love their young, skilled players. I still think the Panthers, much more than the Rangers, are a team on the rise. But you got to cover yourself on that back line on defense. You've got to cover yourself in the goal. And I don't see that getting better anytime soon.
You know, staying on New York for a second, but sure. I do have another basketball question for you, Heat-Knicks related. I saw the great piece that you wrote in the Sun Sentinel about Spoelstra and David Fizdale's relationship. Of course, all the years they spent together in Miami, starting, you know, late in that 90s rivalry between the Heat and the Knicks. Of course, Fizdale, now the head coach in New York. Clearly, that creates a compelling storyline, the coaching matchup, Ira, but what's it going to take to have really compelling basketball again between the Heat and Knicks? Because just reading your piece and thinking back to those days, even though the Heat usually came up on the short end of those playoff series with the Knicks, I miss that rivalry. I miss those series. I miss that basketball.
I think the Knicks are actually a little bit closer, just not this year, because I think the fact they have Porzingis, who might miss the whole season after last year's knee surgery, but I think eventually he's going to come back. So if Kevin Knox turns around, that's what they're doing. They're getting cap space, and they're getting young players. I think with the Heat, it might be a little bit longer of a road. They haven't identified their superstar of the future. The Knicks can say Porzingis, build around him. The Heat, you look at this roster. We talked about this at the top of the call. I don't know if I can say I'm building around Josh Richardson or anyone else on this roster. So it's weird. This season, I think the Heat could finish 20 games better than New York. But when you talk about futures of franchises, I'm not so sure that the Knicks aren't actually better positioned than the Heat. So I think the Heat will be playing catch-up eventually. You want to get your leading man. The Knicks have their leading man. The Heat don't. That's a concern.
Ira Winderman does excellent work covering the Miami Heat and the NBA. And, of course, we talk hockey. We talk John Bones Jones with this guy. He covers it all for the South Florida Sun Sentinel on Twitter at Ira Heat Beat. Ira is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight.
My pleasure. Go both teams. Thank you, Donna.
Way to straddle that fence. By the way, Biff, I've got a Mega Millions update. I don't know how I feel about this, though. But I received a text from my mom who's listening. Hi, Mom. She loves Ira, by the way. She's a huge fan of the basketball talk. Apparently, my dad actually bought two tickets for family sharing. So if there's a winning ticket in there, it'll be split four ways with me, and I assume I would also share that with my wife and child. So that's one.
And me. I'm basically like family, obviously.
I don't know if you make that cut. But so me and my family, my parents, obviously that's two. My sister and her family, I feel like they're pretty well off. Like my sister and her husband, I feel like they make a great living. I don't know if they need to be included. And also she's throwing in my aunt into this. Like I think I need to get my own tickets, Biff.
Honestly, you're not making that much money on it. You should just get your
own really
tickets.
I'm really not.
Like that, like, you know, it's great. You're only going to make, like, what, like $50 million sounds like off that? $50 million is not that much.
I guess I can understand, like my parents, it's very nice that they're cutting in me and my sister, but they're cutting my aunt into this also? It's like, yeah, and also, like, that's my mom's sister. She also has a brother, and when he hears that she's cutting my aunt in, he's going to want a cut of that. His kids, he's got three kids. They're going to want a cut of that. My aunt also has a daughter. My cousin's going to want to. By the time you're done splitting this up, I'm going to have like
$80. Hey, that's even more
sound
dollars
good
than you had before.
But I don't know, man. I think I may need to invest in my own tickets. I don't like this deal.
I'm telling you, man, $2, you know, it's not that bad. It could be worse. You could be spending like the $20 on the scratch off and win $10.
But if I get my own ticket and I win $900+ million, I'll cut you in, Biff. I'll cut in Doug Plagans. I'll cut in, I might even cut in Hockman. I don't feel like Crowder needs that, but I'll cut Hockman into that. Falero, maybe. Manny Chang could probably use that cash. All right, so when we come back, Doug Plagans will join us live from Madison Square Garden. We'll talk some puck, but we'll also play a new edition of everyone's favorite game show, What Did Doug Plagans Eat for Lunch? Coming up next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Panthers and Rangers tonight.
Yeah.
Gonna face off in about 15 minutes here on this radio station, 560 WQAM. You hear all the action with Doug Plagans on the call. Doug is live in New York City. People have been guessing, Doug, what you had for lunch today. Now, I'll give you my guess. Obviously, don't tell me if I'm right or wrong until I give you the guess of some of the people out there. I'm going to go with a bagel. I know that there's a bagel shop there that you love. I can't remember the name of it. So that's going to be my guess. This is a very specific guess here from Sluggo. A hot dog with mustard and onions with a slice of pizza. I mean, if that really is what you had for lunch, I want a cut of his lottery ticket because he clearly knows something about the future or the past, I guess, in this case. Sean the Hawk is all in with New York-style pizza. I've seen a couple of several guesses for pizza, actually. Pastrami sandwich on rye bread, I think, was a guess from Young Biff over there. So tell me, Doug, what did Doug Plagans have for lunch today?
Well, I want to tell everybody that you're all incorrect.
Ooh.
Every single guess.
Oh, curveball.
Every single guess has been incorrect. So I like to see that we're still keeping everybody on their toes out there. So I did have pizza for dinner last night. So there's the had it for dinner last
once
night
again
technicality. Oh. That happened in Philadelphia with the cheesesteak too. Had it the night before for dinner. Went to a whole group of us went and got some pizza last night. So I did have some pizza here in New York, some great New York style pizza last night. But for lunch today, I went out walking around, and there is a local chain that does Mexican food.
Ooh, burrito. I love Mexican.
I had a gigantic, like, California-style burrito at a place called Dos Toros. There's a few of them around. And I got to tell you, it was outstanding.
Nice.
There wasn't a soda fountain with refills, so that was a moderate issue for somebody who's usually good for about 5 refills. But the burrito itself was outstanding.
I love that. So a burrito. Now I know I'm probably not going to get.
Then I went and got a few lotto tickets after that. So Alex, I'll throw you a couple bucks if I win it.
Yeah, and the same for you, Doug. That's only if I. You understand though. It's only if I get my own tickets. If I win a cut of my parents' tickets, I don't want to spread myself that thin. But if I buy my own tickets and I win, you and Young Biff are both cut into that. How about that?
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, I went after Dos Toros, after my very large burrito, I went to the local 7-Eleven and picked up a few tickets.
Look at you. So
that's where we are.
Give us your scouting report on the game tonight, Doug. Panthers would love to leave Madison Square Garden with a couple points in their pocket this evening.
Well, first of all, everybody gets up when they come into Madison Square Garden. Even though the fans aren't going to be on the Panthers' side, there's certainly some pep in your step when you hit the ice at Madison Square Garden. It's just one of those places that just has a certain special energy to it. So look for a big start. And the Panthers know they need to have a big start tonight because this is game one of a 5-game road trip, a trip that's going to have them on the road for about 12 days, and that's going to have them going between two continents.
Yeah.
So the Panthers want to make sure they get some good mojo going on this trip as quickly as possible, and the New York Rangers on the other side, they're wrapping up a homestand here tonight. They certainly have some skill on their side, and they're going to be going with the backup goaltender tonight, so no Henrik Lundqvist between the pipes for the New York Rangers this evening. But I think the key for the Panthers here is going to be the start, and the start has been good for the Panthers, so they're going to look to just continue with their first period success. And I know Vincent Trocheck, when I talked to him just a little bit ago before the game, said they want to make sure they have that good first 20 they've been having, and then make sure they continue that through the next 40 after that.
By the way, before you go on the road with a team to Finland, I'm gonna have to do some research on like some of the traditional foods there, because those will be the most challenging additions of what did Doug have for lunch.
I've done some research myself, and I will tell you, I am very interested to see like if a McDonald's in Finland has any uniquenesses, any special items that maybe we don't have here stateside. And I did look, and there are some McDonald's in
it's funny.
They'll find the Golden Arches there.
Yeah, that's a really fun exercise because I've never been to Finland, but in like Italy and in France, it's fun to kind of look at what they have at McDonald's. There's always something unique. And about a year and a half ago when I was in Japan, that was a real trip. They had some interesting stuff there at McDonald's as well. So it does get very regionalized.
So I'm definitely going to check that out. But I've been doing my share of research and, finding out where the places to go might be. I know Alexander Barkov is a big chicken wing fan, and therefore I'm going to be looking around for maybe some of the best places to go for chicken wings in Helsinki.
Love it. So the Panthers, before they head to Finland, they have business to take care of at Madison Square Garden tonight. Panthers and New York Rangers, a game you can hear 7 o'clock right here on this radio station with Doug Plagans on the call. Doug, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will, of course, reconnect with Doug in a few minutes here for the Panthers Radio Network when the Cats take on the Rangers. So I want to thank Young Biff. Excellent producing tonight, as always. I want to thank Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel for taking some time. I'm surprised Ira's not wearing one of those split jerseys where it's like Rangers on one side and Panthers on the other. He loves both of those teams, man. But I think he's going to be quietly rooting for the Panthers tonight at the lovely Winderman Estate. So Panthers-Rangers coming up next right here on 560 WQAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.